listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hi.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month, we pick a theme, and each week, one of us picks a movie that falls within that theme. With the exception of the month of January, where we lose all semblance of any sort of order, and we dedicate all of our time to one very specific actor. A powerhouse, a man who could play any role and has any personality, sometimes multiples. Welcome to round one of our fourth annual
Cage Match.
Woo-hoo!
There you go.
And we are joined by the unofficial arbiter. This year it is superfan John, aka Tammy 2. Say hi, John.
Hi.
Yay.
I'm official. He is official. The fact that we announced him makes him official.
Yes.
I'm also bona fide.
I was sick one time.
He's got prospects.
Very true. Now, John, do you have a favorite Nicolas Cage performance? Not just the ones we've picked this year, but of all time.
I don't think any of these could be anyone's favorite Nicolas Cage performance.
Agreed.
However,
do you remember that one time he went on that talk show in like 1991 and was just throwing cash at people?
Yes.
Is that where he dressed up as Batman?
No.
This was just pure fucking cocaine.
No, I don't know that one.
It might be the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
They were referring to this in Tammy's pick of Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Like with the CGI version that where he talks to himself.
With the black leather jacket.
That's from this talk show.
Yeah, Throwback Cage was from that throwback.
My mind. From that interview. Learning something new every day. Well, round one is my pick against Matt's pick. And for those who don't know how this works, each of us picks a Nicolas Cage movie. We go head to head in five categories. Best freak out, best action, best supporting cast, best leading lady, and best movie.
Yes.
And then the winner of round one goes up against the winner of round two, and we crown the winner of the fourth annual Cage Match. We each get 30 minutes to defend our pick. So, Tammy, are you ready with the timer?
One moment, please.
Okay.
30 minutes, not 25.
30 minutes on the clock.
Why?
Well, last year we gave each other 30 because people complained about the 25.
Well, 25,
I people
won't need 30 minutes, but I might need 25.
The people, 25. Yeah, the people that complained about it are the ones that are asking why 30 now.
25 Ooh. Minutes and 0 seconds?
No, 30 minutes.
30.
Right. 3-0. Oh, goodness.
Okay.
I'm getting flashbacks of when they stole Pittsburgh's time.
Yeah. And steel trap over here.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go. My movie was released on March 11th, 1994. It was directed by Hugh Wilson. It stars Nicolas Cage and Shirley MacLaine. It is Guarding Tess. Yeah, he has a running time of 1 hour and 35 minutes.
Oh, that's not tight.
That is tight.
No, it's not. It's over. It's
Fine,
over an
it's
hour
90,
and 30.
Oh, sorry, it's 95 minutes.
You like
okay,
I a do, 90 minute movie.
I do like a 90
it's
minute
tight.
Movie. It had a budget of $20 million, a box office of only $31 million, and it holds a Rotten Tomatoes score of 59%.
What?
I know.
Wow, no.
I believe that was an F minus when I was in school.
I'm kind of surprised by it.
No, F plus.
I am surprised it
F plus.
Started with a 5 and not a 3. So
what?
You know.
Oh, this is so upsetting.
Oof.
Man.
That was a rough hour and a half and then some.
Damn it. But
it
the oversized
cute.
Coats, John. The oversized coats.
I did love the
coats.
Oversized coats.
It's cute.
Back when I could trust the government.
Oh, goodness. All
the
right.
truth is out there, John.
So this is directed by Hugh Wilson. He also directed Police Academy, The First Wives Club, and he is the creator of WKRP in Cincinnati. He's also the voice of the president in the movie. The president that keeps calling going, God damn if I get another call from Bess or Tess or whatever the fuck her name is.
It's a combination of like, basically
it's
now
Bill
it's like,
Clinton.
It's LBJ meets like George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice guy.
He definitely doesn't want to be bothered by her.
He's busy.
So what I can
the government
president thing.
Well, also I think the president, Tess's husband, died in office. Like he had the stroke. He died during his
heart attack.
And this new president took over. So, you know, there's a transition.
Yeah, and he's even said it. They're the one that Tess and her husband were basically the ones that put him in the White House. So he's forever indebted to her no matter what.
Correct.
Yes.
So, Secret Service agent Doug Chesnick, played by Nicolas Cage. This is right around the time of my past two Cage Match movies, Honeymoon in Vegas and It Could Happen to You. So he's very adorable romantic comedy, Nicolas Cage in this.
So he's just an alcoholic in this?
No.
I would call this his doofus stage.
Is this a 90s, like a late 90s?
No, it's 94.
94. Oh,
okay. Yeah, so early, mid-earlys. Yeah.
As John pointed out, large, oversized 90s coats.
Right, right, right.
Very X-Files. So he is in charge of a team stationed in Ohio.
Ew.
So awful.
Ooh.
Yeah.
One star. Don't recommend.
To protect Tess Carlisle, played by legendary actress Shirley MacLaine.
She was in Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Basically doing her Weezer from Steel Magnolias.
It's a Clint Eastwood movie. It's not,
a, not a Southern Belle.
Not as Southern, but basically the same kind of cantankerous old bitch.
Yeah.
We love her for it.
I'm glad you pulled out her most famous role, Matt.
Two Mules for Sister Sarah? Yeah. She was a nun. Well, actually, no. She was a whore dressed up as a nun. And Clint Eastwood was like a bounty hunter guy.
We say sex worker now, sir.
Sex well, it was the old West, so we can say whore.
It's also the third most popular profession for actor to win an Academy Award is a sex worker.
Yeah.
Anora just got one.
I just saw that movie.
Yeah.
That movie sucked.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. Don't say that. Your brother's going to get mad. He loved that movie.
He'll just say I didn't get it.
Yeah. He will say you didn't get it.
You didn't get it, clearly.
Apparently.
It won an Academy Award.
It won many. So she's the widow of a former U.S. president. I say former, but I really do think he died in office. Like, I think he was serving.
He died. It's former.
Still former.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He's true.
I
know. But I was thinking, like, former, I think, like, you know, it's not like we're in, like, the Clinton era and she was, like, married to Nixon or something like that. That's what I mean. So Tess is known for her diplomatic and philanthropic work, but seems to regard Doug less as a security officer and more as a domestic servant. Not unlike her chauffeur, Earl, quad pro quo alum from My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
Hey.
He was just as awkward in this movie, too.
That guy made a whole career out of just
his name's
doing
Austin
that.
Pendleton. And her nurse, Frederick Richard Griffiths, a.k.a. Uncle Vernon Dursley from the Harry Potter movies.
That's why I could not play.
Also Sleepy Hollow.
Movie.
Mm-hmm. He was also in The Naked Gun, too.
Sure. Did you see that thing where it said, like, the movie that was number one at the box office when you turn 10 is how, like, your year is going to go?
You know they make those so that they can figure out your birthday so they can crack your passwords easier. So
oh, darn it. Well, the movie that was number one when I turned 10 was Naked Gun 33 and a third.
Yeah, but what type of bread are you?
I don't know.
It's clearly focaccia, right?
What kind of bread? She's a focaccia?
I mean, if you're not a focaccia, you should reevaluate your life.
You have to take the quiz, Tammy.
What type of bread do you think Nicolas Cage is?
Something toasted.
Something toasted or deep fried.
Something.
Yes.
Something you could use as a frisbee.
A frisbee?
Something that just defies.
Unleavened bread?
Something like a pita?
But like real crusty.
I'm going to say pumpernickel. Because it's surprisingly good.
I like that.
I do like that too, actually.
And a very divisive choice for breakfast.
Marble rye, because it's a combination of a lot of different things.
And it shouldn't exist, but it does.
It does, absolutely.
It's an affront to God.
Yep.
Something.
So Doug is happy in the beginning of the movie because his assignment is ending. I guess they do 3 years, like that's an assignment.
Yeah, and they do tours, yeah.
Tours, and then they can potentially get like reassigned. So he's happy because she's tough to deal with. I believe when he tells his boss that there's the public and the private. And then it just devolves into him basically saying, like, she's a psycho and I hate her.
He did say that, but who doesn't like a spicy woman?
I agree. I mean, but also she...
I might have pushed her down the stairs. She was awful.
It seems also she
I might bury her in a field somewhere.
Yeah. She's been kind of reclusive since her husband died, and she kind of stays in her room a lot, which is probably bummed. You know. Well, she's sad, yeah.
She's allowed to be sad. That doesn't mean you get to be abusive to the people who work there.
Absolutely. I would also imagine
it might also have something to do with the 3 mini bottles of Jack Daniels that they pull up in the trash.
I would also imagine it's very tough to go from a very public life of servitude to not being needed in any way, shape, or form.
She also just had her significant other die.
Well, that's what we said. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's mourning, and she's also feeling useless.
She's righteously allowed, like, she's allowed to be bummed.
Yeah, absolutely. But she's not allowed to
be bummed. Doesn't mean you get to be shitty to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's some people that, I'm going to say Guido, get angry when they're mourning. When people die.
And then I push him down the stairs.
And he gets mad.
I'll be all right.
And it's just his process.
Yeah.
Yeah, them stairs ain't nothing. We all fall down them stairs.
We've all fallen down those stairs.
Literally. Yeah, it's true.
It's a cathartic moment.
So he thinks he's going to get back to Washington, and he's going to maybe guard this president. And unfortunately, she calls up the president and says that she wants Doug to stay with her. And he basically is like, I can't go back there. I can't do another 3 years. He thinks it's beneath his professional dignity to perform little chores around the house or bring Tess her breakfast in bed, which is what he does. And when Doug, again, defies her, and because when he comes back, he says, like, this is how it's going to go.
Is this your freak out?
No, this is not my freak out. This All is right. not my freak out. But he I'm says, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be no more us bringing you breakfast. There's going to be no more little, you know, chores. And we will not be leaving our guns at the door because she won't let them bring their guns into her room.
I bet we know what side she's on. Democrat.
And so, of course, she calls the president again. And the president calls Doug and basically, and again, it's the director of the movie, says like, I do not want to get another goddamn call from her, and you better be nice to her. And, you know, it does sound like a caricature of like Bill Clinton or something like that.
Part of me was hoping it was David Lynch doing a Southern accent.
No, it is the director of the movie.
You definitely tell he was on some type of island on the phone.
Well, isn't he like, he's always traveling, I feel like, when he calls.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, they knew what plane he was on every time he went.
So they continue bickering. They go to the opera in some horrible city in Ohio. Columbus. There we go. The capital. Is that the capital of Ohio?
Does it matter?
I guess not.
I bet it's a city that starts with C.
It does. Oh, there are a lot of C cities in Ohio. Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus. But when they're coming back, Cuyahoga Falls.
Yep.
That's everywhere in Ohio. We've covered the whole state.
Wow.
I didn't think it existed.
No, that's Maine.
No, we've been to it.
Oh.
Mansfield.
That was an M. Yeah, there we go.
That's a lady.
Jade.
Actually, no. The C is silent. It's cement.
Cachran.
When they're driving back from Columbus... And the Secret Service agents are getting gas, which is like $1.25 back in 1994, apparently.
Couldn't make this movie today.
She convinces the driver to take off. And so they drive off and they have to call the local police, who then make fun of them because it's like, oh, must be really hard keeping track of a 65-year-old lady.
You don't understand. She does what she wants.
So this next one almost made my freak out and not the one where he freaks out on the chauffeur and he like kind of roughs him up, Nicolas Cage, but when he goes up to her room and he's like, he's fired. He's an employee of the Secret Service and he's gone. And he freaks out. And then she's like, he works for you because I said he had to, and he stays. And like, she yells at him. And I kind of love their banter back and forth.
It
They're
is.
Like very good with each other. It's kind of a mutual freak out, but it's not my freak out.
She said, I'll choose scenery with you.
Yeah, exactly. Watch this. Then we meet her stupid son, Barry, who's trying to get her to like, not invest money, but like basically just say that these like horrible retirement communities in Arizona.
He was trying to get money. Because no, at first he said, if we could just get you to sign, fill out a letter.
Yes,
and say,
yeah.
And then he starts going, and if only the banks are just giving me so much shit.
Yeah, he does kind of hint.
If I could like.
He's kind of a loser.
But of course she shuts it down. And
yeah, she thinks it would hurt her and her husband's legacy if the venture is questionable, which it obviously is. And it kind of like reminds me, like you feel bad. I do feel bad for her because again, like she's lost her husband. She's no longer necessary, which I'm sure a lot of first ladies kind of feel that way. But she also is, I don't want to be controlled. And even though you can refuse Secret Service protection, she tries to do it. And they're like, no, you can't. Like, you have to have protection, even though you technically are allowed to refuse it.
Do you want
to
get taken? Because this is how you get taken.
Yeah. And when she's watching like videos of her and her husband when they were in the White House and also of his funeral, she sees Nicolas Cage like crying and she realizes how much he did care for her husband and took his job very seriously. And they have a late night conversation and they get a little drunky and they
hook start, up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just second
it
base,
is a,
dude.
It's a cutout scene. They fuck on that island in the kitchen.
Oh, where Vernon Dursley
makes
the breakfast.
Vernon Dursley's making
yes,
breakfast?
Yes, where
God
he was making.
It.
No, he's the nurse. The Asian guy's the cook.
That wasn't mayo, buddy.
Hey, I'm sorry.
That's some sandwich spread.
Ew. Gross.
He saw more than a few blue hairs, if you catch my drift.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had a hell of a time figuring out who did what in that house.
It's just like, there are just like a lot of random.
Yeah, they're all just sitting there.
Yeah, they're all just sitting in the kitchen doing
and none
nothing.
Of the Secret Service guys are like proper, looking like proper Secret Service guys.
Yeah,
the only
nobody's got a fucking black suit and a
skinny tie. Yeah, the only, one that's, the only one that's even wearing a suit most of the time is Nick. Because like
her assistant wears like a nice female suit.
Well, they wouldn't let him have a prosthetic nose or anything. So.
No, he wasn't allowed to wear any makeup or wigs or full body makeup that make him look like a different race in this movie.
I mean, sorry, his brother wasn't directing this movie. It was who you said it was.
So morale kind of improves because Tess and you know, Nick get along. Nick Cage. I'm just going to say that.
There's a lovely grocery shopping montage.
I liked that.
With the peas.
She's like, how much is
we have lost interest in the peas, and we are moving on to other canned goods. We're down aisle 6. Very funny. Adorable.
She doesn't want to be recognized today.
And then she kind of feels happy again because the president's supposed to come to the dedication of, like, kind of like a presidential library in honor of her late husband. And so she feels, like, important. Like, oh, I get to plan this. And then... it gets canceled, so she gets upset. Very upsetting.
Rightfully so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, she, during a day out, this is kind of sad. She just goes and sits and has this picnic, and I'm assuming it's like January. It just looks really cold. But it's after Christmas, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sorry. Her heart's just as cold.
Yeah.
I think that place has like sentimental value.
I think that's, so.
That's like where she and her husband used to plow.
Yeah.
Imagine being sentimental. Really?
They were farmers?
They plowed by that lake?
With a tractor?
Somebody was plowing.
Oh, God.
Is that where he made love to her? It was that big oak tree.
It was the good fuck tree.
It was the good fuck tree from Shawshank. It is Ohio. So during this day out, she gets in the car. Nick Cage goes back to get her folding chair. And Earl takes off without Nick Cage. So it's just...
fuck Earl.
And he thinks it's another apparent joyride. And he's pissed. And then they don't return. They don't return that night. The other Secret Service men haven't seen them. Doug and his security detail realize that it was likely that Tess was kidnapped. So they have to contact the FBI. And we get... James Rathbone.
Dick.
That guy.
He's a real fucker.
He is.
He's not a nice guy.
I thought he was actually like a nice guy.
He's kind of nice in this one. Other guy with the mustache who's in like all those movies.
But the guy who says he's a disgrace?
Yes. That guy.
Yeah, he's a fucker.
He must be, and I always say this because you see him in a lot of these movies, like this movie and a lot of war movies. He must be like, he's in like Saving Private Ryan and like other war movies. He must have actually served and like now just is an actor in these types of movies, basically.
Patton's cousin.
Yes, exactly. Obviously.
Like Arlie Ermey or whatever his name was from
Gunny?
Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, like Arlie Ermey. Yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, an actual military man, then went full on act. Yeah.
So the investigation reveals that Tess's recent dizzy spells and the reason she has the nurse, and we saw her go to a hospital and get kind of like a CAT scan.
Yeah.
She does have an inoperable brain tumor.
Mm. It is a tumor.
Is it malignant?
It doesn't matter.
I wish. Wouldn't that be great if the third act of this movie, Shirley MacLaine jumped on a table and like ripped the back of her head open and a giant tumor person came out of it?
And her arms going backwards.
And it gets better. The tumor is played by Nick Cage.
Amazing. We just wrote a movie.
It's a shame.
Now that's a freak out.
Isn't Shirley MacLaine dead though?
No, she is 91 and still kicking.
All right.
Wow.
We can call it Malignant 2.
Guarding Test Malignant. Yeah. Malignant Test.
Guarding Tesseract.
Yeah, this is amazing. I'm obsessed with it. And they found the car, and Tess was not in it, but they did find like a syringe with like ketamine and some other.
Fun.
Something else.
Versed? She went on a K hole?
Versed and ketamine or something
It, old no, bird likes
I think
to party.
It was ketamine and Ativan.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really nice
time. But they did find
that's like
Earl.
That shit that makes you, when you hear it, it turns into that John Hamm gif.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The dancing. Yeah.
Your ears are just doing a...
They did find Earl unconscious in the front seat.
He liked the party too.
They realize, because Doug's a little bit suspicious, Earl has small crescent-shaped burns on the back of his neck, which Doug suspects were caused by Tess fighting back with the car's cigarette lighter, because it's one of those cars that has a cigarette lighter in the back seat.
Couldn't make this
How
movie
many
today.
Hours did it take him to figure that out, though?
22.
22 hours. Come on, Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Well, he's not a detective.
He didn't actually see the wounds until he was in the hospital, right?
Yeah,
right.
It was something, yeah.
But well, still, 22 hours?
Yeah, agreed.
To get suspicious of Earl, the shady-looking motherfucker?
Yeah.
I love it when they kick that door down. They're like, we're here to look at your boo-boo.
Yeah. So this is my...
we want to see your la-boo-boo.
This is my freak-out scene.
And this would never happen, by the way.
Yes, it would.
What, where you shoot off a guy's toe in a hospital?
Oh, because you'll the door...
Fuck that toe.
Michelle, you're forgetting that they could smoke in hospitals.
No,
then.
No.
There were no rules in 1994.
Is it because the hospital door was closed?
The nurse is like, oh, yeah, I'll take down my dressing and show you. Fuck that. Like, no, you need to wait until tomorrow. I already did it today.
So Doug and the FBI agent, James Rephorn, question Earl, who gets nervous and defensive when he sees Doug holding the lighter and attempts to frame him for the kidnapping. Furious. Freak out. Doug threatens to shoot off Earl's toes until he confesses where Tess is being held, going so far as to shoot one of his toes off. Yay.
This is a good freak out.
Yes. Earl admits that Tess is being held captive by his sister and his brother-in-law.
Why?
Then? At their farmhouse. Look, I'm going to admit, there are some issues with this movie and plot holes. Okay? We have no idea why. And I told him, when we were watching it, I Mandela affected it in my head. I thought, for some reason, it was the son that orchestrated the whole thing because he needed money to build those condos. That makes more sense. And I was like, are we going to find out that he paid Earl's white trash family to kidnap her? And then we don't. So I'm like, oh.
Well, I mean, it was probably written in and they had to cut it to keep your tight 135.
It's like an episode of Scooby-Doo.
It's a little bit random. It's a little random. It's the driver.
Or it's just Ohio, and they're probably part of those militant groups that are in the Midwest.
So the FBI and the Secret Service raid the kidnappers' home and arrest them, and they find Tess buried alive beneath, like...
This is crazy.
That was the plot hole for me.
Oh, that they were able to dig in the ground because...
No. That dirt was so well packed.
It was.
So she's been under there for weeks.
You're right.
They've been driving equipment over it.
It should have been Ryan Reynolds.
That movie's awful.
I don't get that, but I agree.
There's a whole movie where Ryan Reynolds is buried in a coffin. It's the whole movie, and it's so boring and stupid.
It should have been Uma Thurman.
Yes.
Yeah, she got out of that shit in like 8 minutes. It was great.
Well, he didn't practice his one-inch punch.
And from the look
of that, he was Green Lantern.
From the looks of it, though, in Shirley MacLaine's defense, it looked like she was buried under plastic, though. Uma Thurman was in a wooden coffin.
Yeah, it almost looks like she's kind of in like a bunker, like buried underneath the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a teddy. She had a blanket.
Yeah.
She had her Kindle.
She had her headphones.
She was all set.
She was just sitting there watching.
She had a couple of granola bars and
some
fruit
snacks. Yeah,
she was ready to rock.
She had the cosmic brownies.
Yep.
She was watching Sam and Cat or whatever those shows are.
So they get her out. She's alive. Although, because we know she has an inoperable brain tumor, she won't technically be alive for that much longer. I don't know why we felt the need to actually put in the brain tumor. Because
so that we feel bad for her, because she was awful to start.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's been smelling colors this whole time.
But then we find out, while she was buried under there, the tumor went away.
And
everybody gets a happy ending.
Happens all the time.
All it takes is a 6-inch plastic PVC pipe to breathe through.
Or so we thought.
Guarding Tess Malignant. I did like when she's on the... They say that the Secret Service can't come on the helicopter, and she makes them bring the helicopter back down. She kicks off all the douchebag FBI guys, and then Nicolas Cage comes on.
Well, James Rephorn gets to stay,
and she basically tells him to shut the fuck up.
The guy looks like Tammy's dad had to get off.
Yeah.
Yes. But I just like, I just think their chemistry is so cute together. I just think
Have chemistry.
They have great chemistry.
Yes. Those people in this movie have chemistry.
So then we get this scene in the end where Tess refuses to, you know, sit in the wheelchair. She's not good with rules. Doug tells her, Tess, get in the goddamn chair. She complies.
All you had to do was put Tess in the chair.
Yeah. And then it's basically the end of the movie. So just a little two fun facts before I get to my category. How much time do I have? I don't even know.
You have 5 minutes.
Great! Okay. So Shirley MacLaine was nominated for a Golden Globe for this movie. In 1995, best performance by an actress in a comedy or musical. Shirley MacLaine and Nicolas Cage became great friends while filming due to their mutual love of animals and would go on to co-adopt many animals together, including a ferret named Whiskers and a zebra named Mr. Zed.
Derivative.
Derivative. That is a fun fact.
I thought so too.
Mr. Zed.
Guido, Dewey Cox was 18 years ago.
That's so wild.
Man.
Oh, fuck.
That movie's right. Old enough to bang. That's gross.
My categories.
Half of Congress doesn't even like it anymore.
Leading lady. I mean, it's Shirley fucking MacLaine. I realize that the person I'm going against has an equally awesome leading lady in her. So why are we comparing women? Why are we pitting them against each other?
Because this is a category we agreed upon.
They can both be just amazing. They're both Oscar winners. And they're both fabulous. But Shirley MacLaine's pretty amazing. I do love her. Supporting cast. This is a veritable who's who of that guys.
Yes.
We've got that guy from Independence Day. We've got that guy from My Cousin Vinny. We've got that guy from Harry Potter. We've got that guy from Con Air. One of the other FBI agent Secret Service men is in Con Air. Just lots of that guys.
Don't forget about that guy.
That guy.
Oh, what about that guy?
Yep. I would say my best, the freak out is when he shoots the chauffeur in the hospital.
Yeah.
Very impactful. He's visibly upset.
And he gets the job done.
Done.
He gets the information.
Will not hold up in court.
He was looking for.
I would have shot him too.
Yeah. And I would say best action. There are a lot of guns. We don't have the guns category, but there are a lot of guns in this movie.
Maybe we
but
should
I,
have a guns
category. I would say the action is when they do rescue her. There's a lot of helicopters.
It was like 12 seconds, though.
It was like SEAL Team 6.
It was great. Going
with her. Yeah. It was so nuts, because I'm watching the movie on like double speed or whatever.
You were double speeding it. That's why it was so fast.
No, no, no. So I had to back that up and run it down to 1X. And I was like, hold on. So hut.
It's very
helicopter,
short.
Helicopter. Flashbang. Boom. Dig the hole.
There was a flashbang.
And that was it. That was real time. I just read that back to you.
That was fun. Yeah. The flashbang was
fun. The shovel got more action than anything else.
That shovel got 10 times more screen time than that entire, like, fucking breach and siege.
I like this movie. I think it's fun. I don't think it's anything serious. I like their chemistry together. And I do like Nicolas Cage in these kind of more subtle, sweet, he's a nice guy kind of roles. And I think he does it very well in this movie. And Shirley MacLaine is amazing. Done! Matt, are you ready? Tammy?
Yes.
I'm ready.
May we have 30 minutes on the clock?
It's 30.
All right.
See?
3, 2, 1, go.
My movie came out in 1987 with an estimated budget of $15 million, a worldwide gross of just under $81 million, and a Rotten Tomatoes score of 90%. Nominated for 6 Academy Awards, 90%. Winning 3. My movie is Moonstruck.
Woo!
It was directed by Norman... This is Bates. His name. His name is Norman Jewison.
Norman Jewison.
Norman Jewison.
Oh, you changed it to Latrine.
Used to be Shithouse.
He's known for this. He also directed Fiddler on the Roof, Jesus Christ Superstar, In the Heat of the Night, Allie's favorite movie, Only You.
Woo! I love that movie so much.
And
God
I'm,
damn!
I'm,
sorry.
You know,
so loud.
I'm sure I don't.
Been great.
I'm sure I would get shit if I didn't bring this up. He also directed the 1977 sci-fi classic, Rollerball.
My mom loves Rollerball.
You know, I have that on Blu-ray.
Great movie.
Do you have it on Laserdisc?
I do not. I did steal Guido's copy on HD DVD, though.
I thought your brother only liked the remake of Rollerball.
No, oh God. I'm getting a
the one
phone.
With LL Cool J? That is a superior
Jesus
movie.
Jesus Christ, I'm going to
There's
be
There's a whole
phone.
Scene shot just in stop, night vision. Or it's green. Actually, you want to watch it after the pod? I'll put it on.
Great. It sounds amazing.
I hate you all. It was written by John Patrick Shanley, who is known for this. This is one of the 3 Oscars that the movie won for Best Original Screenplay. He also wrote and directed Doubt. You know, the Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He's a playwright.
I don't know about that.
He wrote the play. Like, he's a playwright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, he also...
I could tell watching this movie.
That it's a play? By,
yeah, this is a fucking play.
It's a play. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
And adapted hopeful soon-to-be quad pro quo pick. He adapted the screenplay for Congo.
What?
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Gorillas is and fucking laser beams.
Amy, want better script.
Is Congo a play, too, and I just never picked up on it?
Yes.
You don't remember Lasers and Diamonds on Broadway?
Yeah, it's got 5 acts.
And Joe Don Baker.
It's clear.
Gosh, so amazing.
Clear as day.
Tim Curry with that accent.
Okay, starring our leading man in what's considered to be a supporting role as Ron Camamere, opposite the one and only, that's right, motherfucking Italian legend Cher.
Greek, but that's fine.
No, actually, she's like Romani. She's like gypsy.
She could still get it.
No. The lady in the airport in that early scene was a gypsy.
Yeah, she has that song, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Yes, that's right.
She can say that.
She's also half like indigenous person, I'm pretty sure.
The one and only Cher playing Laurette Castarine.
The hand is handing.
Yo, these hands are so fucking loud. Turn them down.
You know Cher. She's known for her amazing music, iconic television show, The Sonny and Cher Show, and films such as this, Mask, Burlesque, Witches of Eastwick, etc. Also starring Olympia Dukakis, known for my opponent's pick. She
Steel
was in
Magnolias?
Steel Magnolias with Shirley MacLaine.
Yes.
She was also Mr. Holland's Opus, and Look Who's Talking.
Oh, that's right.
It's also got Danny Aiello from Do the Right Thing, Leon the Professional, and Hudson Hawk, and Vincent Gardine. He's known for Little Shop of Horrors, Death Wish, and Bang the Drum Slowly. I'll talk about them and more when we get to our categories. So basically, the story is about 37-year-old. Cher is supposedly 37 in this movie.
Didn't we look it up? She really is only like 41.
In the movie.
No, in real life when she filmed it. Like, she was only like 41 when she made this movie, I feel like.
How can that be if she's 93 now?
She's not. She's like 77 or something.
And she's getting married to a 30-something-year-old.
Good for her.
They're getting married.
And good for Leonardo DiCaprio. Don't be gross.
Yeah, but not before she breaks up Dax Shepard's marriage.
Good
well,
for
everybody. Let's all save Kristen Bell from the...
Kristen Bell, you could do better. What? Dax is over. Like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Cher is 79.
She's 79.
She'll turn 80 in May.
Damn. Okay, so this was 87, 88?
87, yeah.
I'd still play around, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
you think
everything's where it's supposed to be. I'm sure.
You think
so? Oh my
so?
God, it is absolutely it is.
I bet you she turned back.
I'm sorry,
she dips her body in formaldehyde.
She turned back time on that bit right there with her plastic surgery.
She looks amazing.
You think she got vaginal rejuvenation?
I'm sure
I'm pretty sure she got a whole new vagina.
I mean, she's on her third vagina. Please.
Yeah.
Cher is a straight up ship of Theseus at this point.
Yeah.
There's no original Cher in there. I'd be questioning the legality of having sex with Cher at this point. Because I'm not sure how much of her is over 18.
You know how like Barbara Streisand clones her dog?
Yeah.
That's what she does with her vagina, I bet. She clones it and gets a new one.
What does she grow her vagina on?
It's just in the sink.
On a mouse.
She wrings it out and washes it every night and then puts it back in.
Like Velcro.
It's very Death Becomes Her.
Yeah.
So yeah, so 37-year-old Laurette Castarine, a Sicilian-American widow, is an accountant in Brooklyn Heights, New York, where she lives with her family. Her father's name is
Cosmo's a Greek name. You can say the O.
Oh, I can't say Cosmo?
Nobody knows what you're saying.
He is a successful plumber.
I see what you did there.
A successful plumber?
Yeah, he's a plumber. Cosmo is a plumber. He runs a successful plumbing industry.
Cosmo?
I'm going to tell my dad.
You know, remember...
Something to aspire to.
He was doing that whole thing, the spiel with the... That's why I do... With the pipes.
Yeah, that's why he was, like, scraping that pipe for whatever reason.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Because
he's just hoodwinking these rich white people, like, buying these old houses, and like, this is what you gotta get.
Oh, that's right, that's right. I mean, that is what you do.
Yeah, it was the plumber version of the undercoat.
Yeah.
Like I said, she lives with her family, her father Cosmo, her mother Rose, who's played by Olympia Dukakis, and her paternal grandfather, just known as the old man, who's played by Fyodor Chap. He's Russian.
Fyodor.
Yeah, Fyodor. Yeah, he's Russian, and he's playing an old Italian man. This shit is wild.
He's so funny.
Yeah, I can tell
he's
by
adorable.
The accent.
He's got like 4 or 5 dogs.
The movie also starts out there. She's at dinner with her boyfriend. His name is John Canameri.
Danny Aiello?
He's played by Danny Aiello, and he proposes to her. They have this whole thing. It's like Seinfeld on crack and with Italian accents. He says, oh, well, I gotta get married. Will you? Oh,
it's a play.
Oh, my mother. it's a play.
These accents were offensive to Italian people.
They were?
I called Guido halfway through this and asked if this was offensive to his
people. Oh, man.
What
it hurt my feelings.
Oh, Italian Americans.
Italian Americans.
One quarter Italian Americans.
I'm half.
She's way too hot, even in her like marmy like state this time for Danny Aiello.
And he's like, okay, well, I got it first. I gotta go back to Italy because my mother, she's dying. I gotta go. But also, when we get married, you gotta get my brother Ronnie there. He's gotta be there. Yeah. You gotta call my brother. I want him at the wedding.
Well, I'll call Ronnie. All
so
right.
Of course she's, yeah. You know, she's being a good fiance. She's telling everybody she's getting married. She makes a phone call. Who she calls? She's calling the brother Ronnie, who owns a bakery. And
the family bakery. The legacy.
It was the Ciccarelli brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
It was the brothers. Only one brother.
Probably making a spoiadals.
It's the Camamatti baker family bakery. Yeah.
And cannoli.
Does he have to look like such a doofus when he does it?
I think he looks hot.
Get the f-
So like
he looks aloof.
She calls the bakery.
Did you not know that aloof is hot?
Very hot.
She calls the bakery. She gets connected to him, and he's like, who is this? And he's just
he
hangs.
Like a caveman.
Well, yeah.
He's been down in that cellar making bread for
Once he spoke,
forever.
I was like, eh. But on first glance, I dug it.
Fucking all sweaty with the beater,
muscles
poking through.
When you think about it, it's very similar to
he was pretty strapped, he was cut.
I'll say that he was cut.
We're not talking Con Air level jacked, but
no,
he was cut.
He was cigarette thin.
Definitely a triangle shape to him.
Cigarette thin.
Well, okay, we all know what. That's what I like.
So she goes down.
Give me an Adrian Brody any day of the week.
She goes down. Gross. She goes down to the basement. Goes down to the basement of the bakery, and that's where he is. He's sitting there, and he's like, my brother. He's getting married, huh? I cannot do, or I cannot go. And she's like, why
just
not?
Like him.
And he's like, because this is literally.
The hand! I forgot about the
hand! How did you forget the hand?
He's like, you see this? My brother, we were talking. I was going to get married, and then I was talking to my brother, and I wasn't paying attention, and I cut my hand off. I lost my hand. I lost my bride.
The craziest scene. I was like, what the hell happened?
I forgot about the hand.
And he's holding his hand, and he like ungloves it.
Yeah, because
it's like a wood hand.
Yeah. It's a wood prosthetic hand.
I don't know how he does it with all that moisture in the bakery. That's going to warp.
How can you make bread in an oven with one hand?
He's got a trivet burning that hand.
Built into his body. What are you talking about?
All he's doing
fucking
is just
peak
efficiency.
He's
literally using
fingers.
Two hands when you're doing that gesture.
This hand is like this. You can hold it like this. Use the other hand as the guiding one.
Yeah, it's in the shape like you can hold a pool cue. And he can also jack it whenever he needs. He might
That's
get a splinter.
That's why they hide him in the basement, because he only has one hand.
Very true.
He insists on being in the basement. He's the one that exiled himself, but he blames his brother for it.
Italian guilt. Italian Catholic guilt.
To which then Cher is now also just like, she's trying to make it right because she wants...
She wants to see what that hand do.
But also she wants...
Shut up.
Sorry.
She does, in less than a day.
What does he detach it and puts on like... The shocker?
Yeah.
No, he just gives her the minivan. That's two up front, five in the back.
You know how like lesbians will keep two of their fingernails like really, really short? That's what he does. Yeah.
He just got the stumps there.
Yeah.
He has no nails
to worry about.
He has adjustable appendages.
Yeah. It's like
you
it,
put all your fingers
you think
in
he
there
swaps
at once.
It out for one that's all ribbed?
So they
for
go
for her pleasure.
Yeah.
We don't see any of this, but I'd like to imagine this happens because then they do go upstairs because she says she's going to cook for him because again she's trying to make this right to get him to come to the wedding. But instead, what happens is they end up fucking.
Well, who wouldn't?
Immediately.
Well,
after
he
asked her to make a well done steak.
Been a really long time.
Who fucks somebody that can't like start a round of applause?
He can do this.
What's the sound of one hand clapping?
I don't know.
but exactly. So and then you know what? Also, this counts as my action scene. So we'll get to that.
Oh, this is your act. There's not a lot of action.
The hippity dippity is your action scene.
I mean, hey, there's action. All right, they're doing it.
Well, she does slap him. That's
and then yeah, which then
something
which then leads to the. He's like he's like I'm in love with you, and then she slaps
she's easy.
Him. She slaps him in the face. And is like, well, snap out of it.
One of the most famous lines in film history. Yes.
So while they're at Ronnie's place, fucking Rose's brother Raymond, who's played by Louis Gus, I don't know if he's Italian or not, and his wife
just
Rita,
pretending to be.
Julie Bovasso, they join Rose and Cosmo for dinner, and they all wonder where Loretta is. And the brother, Raymond, he brings up this time when he was a boy and Cosmo was dating Rose, and he was talking about this big moon. this big moon out there. It's Cosmo's moon. Because then he sees it again in the middle of the night later that night, and then they fuck. There's so much fucking in this movie because of the moon.
Cosmo's pants are around his ankles. Did start it's Cosmo's when the moon.
Hits your eyes.
Yeah, it's all about fucking.
A big
about
pizza pie?
Cheating.
Big peas pie.
That is oh. the song for this movie. That's,
well, no, it's not about cheating problem. Here because Raymond is fucking his wife in this.
Yeah, but he is cheating on his wife.
Well,
he
Cosmo. Is. Cosmo is.
Oh, out. Cosmo is.
Cosmo. Yeah, meanwhile, Cosmo
everybody
is.
Everybody is cheating on everybody in this
it's
movie.
It's very true.
I don't know. The old man. Cosmo's not, wife could get it. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Rose?
Olympia Dukakis?
Oh, yeah, no. I'd stop Miss Dukakis.
Wow. I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crack. She's got something. Okay.
Okay.
There's something there.
She has a spicy look in her face.
But okay.
I'll answer
so yeah.
stupid questions. Why do men chase women?
So, and then the next morning after Cher, she slaps Nick Cage when he professes his love for her. He's like, okay, I'll stop this, but on one condition. You got to go to the opera with me.
There's opera in your movie too.
You got to go to the. You got to go to the. We're seeing La Boheme at the Met. And then, of course, Cher's kind of like, okay, yeah, sure. And then later she's like, where's the Met?
Well, you know, she lives in Brooklyn.
She has a makeover moment.
Yes. We get a makeover montage.
It was a blowout.
And then we see Cher.
I love it.
As Cher. The hair.
The face. The nails.
Good. She looks so good.
The lip is so nice.
It's so good.
Yep.
I honestly, it's a toss-up between this and the Turn Back Time video for when she was looking her best.
The one with the dominatrix of it? The one where she's got a jacket but no pants on?
Yeah, with the rose tattoo on her butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Dancing for the sailors.
She knows what she's doing.
All those seamen.
So, but then meanwhile, when they're at they go to the opera, he's wearing a tux, she's looking stunning. But who do they fucking run into at
Cosmo?
The opera? Cosmo with his little fucking tart.
Cosmo?
His little tart girlfriend.
I don't even remember what her fucking name is. She's not even important.
She doesn't know her name.
She's about as important as the whore in Love Actually. Who cares, all right?
Yo, Cosmo's lady friend is hot.
Stacked, bro.
What?
Well, he's...
It's a certain type of person that's a mistress when they're in their 60s, in my opinion.
But he's just laying pipe everywhere when you think about it.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
oh, because he's a plumber. Very good.
Yeah.
I didn't really.
Absolutely slinging D, man. Good for him.
So, yeah. So, they run into each other. They can, like, the Loretta confronts. He's like, why are you here? Oh, that's not Johnny. That's not Mom. And they're just like, oh, all right. And they just pretend they didn't see each other. Meanwhile, Rose goes out to dinner at the same place that starts the movie. And a similar event that happened at the beginning of the movie has happened again, where Frasier's dad gets a glass of...
Oh, Frasier's dad. That's right.
Yeah. John Mulvaney, I think his
Mulaney?
Name is. It's not Mulaney. I think it's Mulvaney. He's sitting there, and then, you know, Olympia Dukakis is putting it...
She's eating by herself,
and he's like, oh, would you like to join me? And they sit there, and she's like, and she does the whole thing. She's like, why do men cheat?
Why do men chase women?
It's just such a play.
And then he's sitting there, he's trying to give this whole spiel, and she's like, that's bullshit. They leave, and he's like, oh, you could come back to my place with me. And she's like, no, I'm married. Also, shame. Because at the same time, she runs into her father-in-law with his dogs.
Right, the dogs.
So now it's the next morning again. Loretta comes home, and she finds out from Rose that Johnny, her fiancé, is on his way back from the airport.
What?
Isn't he also kind of cheating on her, too?
No.
He's not.
I mean, and he's cheating on her emotionally, basically, with his mother.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fucking wishy-washy mother's boy.
Fucking weird.
No. He was cheating on her.
With?
A girl named Sheila, the one who was played by Cynthia Dale.
You know what?
The one I was thinking, yes. Yeah, that is Johnny's mistress, which is the one I was thinking was Cosmo's mistress.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So, he was cheating on her.
This really has set my people back. This
Everyone
movie.
Cheats
Every
in this
single
movie.
Person
Everybody
in this movie
a
is a cheater except for Rose.
Except for Rose and the old man.
And the old man.
A bunch of
man with the dog.
Terrible yeah. Catholics in this movie.
But
Catholics are... The beauty of a religion that tells you you can do what you want as long as you confess it the next day.
Yeah, we watched that new Knives Out movie, and that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a confession scene in this movie, too, where Cher confessed, and he's like, oh, well, all you got to do is you just got to do two Hail Marys.
Two Hail Marys and a glory be.
You got to stop doing this.
And you said this was directed by the guy who made Doubt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catholic guilt. Oh, man.
Yeah,
man.
Speaking of Catholics telling you, you know, speaking you can do whatever you want.
Catholic guilt, that mom. I'm healthy. Like, the son goes to Italy.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mother's Day.
Because, yep. And then,
it was a miracle.
A
miracle.
Because first, when they're while they're waiting for Johnny to come home, they're going.
I'm not saying to do.
They're going back and forth.
I'm dying, son.
Of course, Ronnie shows up and he's like, I can't do this. I love you. And I'm going to tell my brother this when he shows up. And then they think that Johnny shows up, but no, it's the brother, it's the aunt and uncle, because apparently Cher forgot to deposit their money at the bank.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
freaking out. And
they didn't want to assume.
And then Johnny shows up and he's like, Loretta, I got to tell you something. I cannot marry you.
Thank God.
My mother will live.
Because if I marry you, my mother will die.
You know what? You're right.
This is such a play.
Exactly
like Honeymoon in Vegas.
Honeymoon in Vegas. Nicolas Cage and his mom is the exact same way in Honeymoon in Vegas.
They call off the engagement, but then Nicolas Cage, of course, stands up. He's like, Loretta, will you marry me? And she's like, where's the ring? Where's the ring?
Yeah.
And the ring that she just took off and gave back to Johnny, she has to give to Ronnie. So then he proposes. And, of course, Olympia Dukakis, Rose, knows about the infidelity and is just like, Cosmo, end it. And he goes,
done.
What are you doing?
Don't forget he smacks the table first.
He smacks the table and he goes,
oh, fuck off.
And then
he's no longer cheating. He's healed.
And everything is fine.
That's what the priest told him to do.
Is that what he did?
And he's forgiven, and now he can go to heaven.
And now he's going to pay for the wedding.
And she's going to make... Yeah, he promised.
He promised that if she got married, ripping off those
rich white people that are gentrifying Brooklyn.
And now they're all cheering. They're all sitting there toasting and cheering for champagne. Dean Martin starts playing again.
And then these people wearing black suits start decomposing, like they just take the set apart.
Yep.
It was written, they wheeled things off the stage. It was weird.
Stage crew comes out, orchestra leads.
Okay, now my categories. All right, best freak out. Yes, while his screen time is limited, of course I wouldn't have picked this movie if there wasn't one. I've already discussed it.
The hand?
It's one of the fastest and earliest ones I've ever seen in a Nicolas Cage movie, because it's only like 20 minutes in. And it's, you know, it's like, I lost my hand. I lost my bride. Johnny has his hand and has his bride.
Guido, do you have the voicemail of me screaming that at you?
Next category, best action. While there isn't any action in the traditional sense in my pick, I would have to suggest everybody hooking up, or at least just Cher and Nick Cage hooking up, which then led to the slap across the face.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, not a lot of action. I was going for a rom-com sort of thing with this year as well.
Okay.
All right, best supporting cast. In truth, as I'm sure my co-host opponent will say with her film, unlike hers, yes, Nicolas Cage is a supporting character in this movie. This is definitely a Cher movie. But when we first see him, he exudes animal magnetism. He's looking good, all sweaty and stuff. It's like he was chopping wood to put into the fire here.
To make
his
hand?
He made my dick smaller by watching it.
We totally get why Cher wants to stroke the salami with him and ends up with him over Danny Aiello.
Well, yeah.
As I mentioned before, this movie was nominated for 6 Academy Awards. 3 of them were for Vincent Gardenia, as Cosmo was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Cosmo?
Who is excellent as the stereotypical older Italian father. But in this role, he now joins Alan Rickman and Rufus Sewell as the biggest bastards in quad pro quo history.
Oh my.
Because how can you fucking cheat on Olympia Dukakis?
I would not.
Who did win for this movie?
It's unthinkable.
I told Guido I was going to yell at you for liking this movie while you hated Alan Rickman.
Dukakis.
Here we are.
Dukakis, who gives a performance second only to the leading lady playing her daughter. Dukakis won the Academy Award for this movie.
What's your mother's name?
For Best Supporting Actress as Rose, the no-nonsense mother who shoots down... who shoots down Fraser's dad. It's John Mahoney,
that's it.
On his vain theories to pursue women and his attempts to take her home. She also ends Cosmo's affair over breakfast with 2 words, and he does. Just powerful performance. It was also, for me, it was a surprising turn to see Danny Aiello as such a spineless mama's boy, given his other roles, you know, like in Do the Right Thing and Leon the Professional. He's always been like a tough, but to see him do this sort of like, oh, my mother. He's like a more Italian version of, what's his name from Independence Day? My mother! Harvey Firestein, yeah. Not to mention the rest of the cast, who's totally not Italian, but they're all playing Italians, including Quad Pro Quo alum Julie Bovasso. She was in My Blue Heaven.
Oh.
And the nuanced comedic performance of Fyodor Russian as the
Fyodor.
With the dogs.
As the old man. Category 4, the best leading lady. I know, just like in Cage Match 1, I'm banking a lot on one cast member. But again, it's fucking Cher.
Yes, it is.
And she is amazing in this movie. The only thing that's unbelievable in this film is that she's a widow and has taken this long for her to remarry, but I'm no expert on grief and Catholicism. I'll have to cede to my co-host sitting next to me.
You want
to
turn back time.
But from when we first saw her, we're simply just in awe. She's stunning.
Very stunning.
Given her longevity and appeal, it is hard to say, but I believe the look she has in this film after her glow-up is one of the best looks she's had in her career. And the walk back from the opera and just some... And the walk back from the opera and after getting some dick and she's just sitting there kicking the can in those red pumps, again, stunning. And best movie. Okay, I thought when I was
going to... There's nothing like getting dick behind a car in the back of an alleyway, though. Right?
Is that what happened?
Son of Sam, it was.
Is Danny Aiello?
I thought
that?
Michelle was making, or Tammy was making an allusion to her movie. Oh. Where somebody also gets dick down in an alley.
Yeah, against a bin.
But like,
they were teenagers.
Going into this, for best movie, I didn't think I was going to like this movie. Because you know me, I always pick the really super terrible, shitty, just to torture you guys. I get it. But I just watched it and I thought it was delightful. I loved this movie. I loved the cast. Yes, it is basically a play. But, you know, sometimes some of the good movies are like that. And also, I just loved it because, you know, it just really makes you love.
Oh, God, you are. Damn it. What? You are really pandering here.
When the moon hits your eye. Like a big pizza pie.
Everybody cheat on everybody else.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just
he's like really good at podcasts.
There's just
someone for everyone. And love is out there for everyone.
Okay.
According to this movie, there's like four someones for
everyone. Apparently.
Hey, it's New York, man.
That's amore.
What do you expect?
It's a big town.
Zohran is making everybody sleep with everybody. That's communism, baby.
Oh, man.
Zohan?
And that's my movie.
I will say that a lot of times, like, you could share, obviously, won for this movie. She won Best Actress. And it is the year that a lot of people...
We're born,
but it's the year that Glenn Close was also nominated for Fatal Attraction, and a lot of people are like,
"I know someone
who won."
I know.
Wait, the Academy Award?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Who's Glenn? And what was he close to?
Glenn Close. Also, great hair from both them in these movies, and that year was great for hair. All right. Well, let's. I guess let's vote. All right. So, shall we start with best?
One thing.
Freak
I
out.
Don't know
freak
why.
Out. So mine is the shooting of the toe in the hospital scene. Matt's is the hand.
I lost my hand.
Guido, would you like to pick one?
I'm going to go with toe.
Okay.
I'm going to go with toe for sure.
Tammy?
I am going to go with toe.
You're going to go with toe as well. I'm going to go with toe as well. So technically I just took the category, but that's fine.
Going with hand.
You're going with hand?
I'm also going with hand.
Okay.
It was really fun to scream.
It was, and I had just forgotten about the hand in general. All right, let's do best action. So yours is fucking.
And slapping.
And mine is digging up a former first lady from the ground.
Who was alive.
Guido?
So, I mean, oh man, geez, it's either bad sex or a shovel.
We don't know if it was bad. I mean,
he got slapped for it. It wasn't good.
Cher's pussy bomb, so. You know.
I mean, he immediately fell in love with her 100. After getting that.
Would this change your opinion? If it occurred to you this is the first time ever saw somebody get fisted with a wooden fist?
All right, I'm going to go with the.
Is it a fist? Is it in a fist?
Who knows?
Oh,
they're interchangeable.
You can own screw it. Yeah, it's like a Swiss Army knife.
I'm going to go with Moonstruck.
Okay.
I'm also going with Moonstruck.
Let me get that 12 seconds of helicopter and flashbacks.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the regular definition of action and say your movie guarding Tess.
I think I am as well, because
you don't have to say it like that, Tammy.
I love the idea of share fucking.
It was a choice.
Traditional.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I take that as well. Let's go with leading lady. Do you just want to take the category?
All right, so his wins that one, right?
Yes. I'm even going to vote for Cher, to be honest with you. You're going to vote for Shirley MacLaine?
I thought Shirley MacLaine was fucking great.
Yeah, but it wasn't her movie. See, Cher got her whole movie.
I understand. But what hold do you on, mean? Wait Shirley for the MacLaine next category.
Shirley MacLaine was just as much of a leading part in...
Yeah, it wasn't called Guarding Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. So, Guido, leading lady?
Oh, yeah, Cher.
Cher.
Shirley MacLaine.
I'm going to say Cher.
Cher.
Okay, so you take...
All right. John's and old ladies. All right, fine.
Supporting cast... Mine's the who's who of that guys, and his is
Olympia Dukakis, Nicolas Cage,
apparently,
and Vincent Gardenia, Danny Aiello, the old man.
Guido?
Yeah, Garden Test, because there weren't any like rude cartoon characters of my people in it.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Christ. Goodness.
There were. I forgot about that.
I didn't notice any Californians in that movie.
I recognize more characters in Garden Test. So I'm going to go with that one.
I'm going to go with Moonstruck because this is Cage match.
Uh-huh.
And Nicolas Cage was a supporting cast member, therefore making it the best supporting cast you could possibly have.
That's a good argument.
I mean, that is okay. True.
That's logic.
Yeah, I think I'm even going to vote for you for supporting cast because, to be honest, mine doesn't really have a supporting.
Also, Olivia Dukakis was fucking great.
Yeah, she's great in it. So
Moonstruck.
Okay. You know what? That is true.
Yeah.
The best supporting cast doesn't necessarily have to be the most famous.
No.
Yeah, right, I'm going to
change my vote.
Okay, well, we're tied up now. So it comes down to best movie or favorite or whatever. It's a toughie.
Moonstruck. That's my choice.
Oh, boy. I'm going to choose the movie about beautiful relationship between an older, more mature woman and a son-like figure.
My movie?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I had never seen Moonstruck before this, which I was kind of shocked that I had never seen it. Everyone in it is a pretty awful person other than Olympia Dukakis and the dad, and obviously Cher, but because she can do no wrong.
She did plenty.
She cheated just, on her fiance.
But she went to 24 hours.
She was visiting his sick mother.
She was forgiven.
I just meant in general because it's Cher. But I think I'm still going to pick my movie because I think I like Nicolas Cage more in Guarding Tess. I love when he's like this sweet kind of person. So I'm going to pick Guarding Tess.
Moonstruck.
John, you're the decider.
Son of a bitch.
Here we go.
So I pick you last. You're the arbiter.
Right, I want to start off by saying I did not actually like either of these movies.
I didn't think you did. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Guarding Tess because he shot that guy. And I did not like that guy. And I really didn't think he was going to follow through on shooting him in that fucking hospital. And then he fucking did. And I was like, you know what? Here for it.
Nice.
That's an abuse of federal power that I'm here for.
Nice. Okay. The winner of Cage Match Round 1 is me with Guarding Tess. Well played.
Really?
Well played.
Yes.
Yep.
Very well played.
Good game.
Yes.
GG.
I feel like these movies matched up well. Whereas in years past, it's been like...
Clear.
You know, something going up against fucking unbearable weight of massive talent.
That's
nothing's
fucking
gonna be
Nicolas
that.
Cage for
I
you.
I know. There's just so much to choose from. Okay. So next week is Cage Match Round 2, which is Tammy versus... Guido. Tammy, just tell us the name of your movie. You don't have to give us the whole spiel.
It's Kick-Ass.
Guido?
Deadfall.
And where can we watch your movies, just so people know? And also Tubi? Be specific about Deadfall.
You can watch it on Tubi, huh? You can watch it on Tubi, free!
Yeah, I wasted 2 hours watching a Michael Caine movie.
Because there are technically two movies called Deadfall.
Three.
Three. Okay, apparently three. You want to be very specific.
Well.
When did yours come out, Guido?
Oh, shit. 1993, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, not to be confused with 1968's with Michael Caine or 2013's with...
Olivia Wilde.
Was that who it was?
Olivia Wilde. Okay. It, yeah. All right, so next week, Tammy versus Guido, Kick-Ass versus Deadfall.
You're going down.
You can also watch Deadfall on Stars so you don't have to waste 30 more minutes with ads.
Okay. Yes, Tubi does have ads.
Good stuff.
It's a movie easy to walk away from. So
John will be returning as our unofficial arbiter, and we will crown a winner of the 4th annual cage match. We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can submit a theme month idea via our website or social media, and please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.